South Africa is alive with possibilities. I mean, who would have imagined a former president in jail, a sitting president sleeping on cash, literally, a cabinet minister visiting a common prisoner in jail, or even the post office operating even when they have nothing to do.
Can you confirm that delivery performances dropped?
Welcome to the new Sowetan Live podcast called Taking the Rams by the Horns with me, Rams Mabote. Each week, I will be taking a lighter look at very serious topics that half the time drive you up the wall. This podcast will use humor to take no prisoners, have no holy cows, and cook a whole lot of sacrificial lambs. Welcome to Taking the Rams by the Horns, a podcast that takes current affairs out of current affairs. This podcast is in partnership with Sowetan Live. I'm your host, Rams Mabote. So I was supposed to have a guest this week, but so much happened this week that I couldn't take a guest. I had to exhale. I am overwhelmed by things that are happening in our country. It has to be tough to be a president of this country, more so if you are President Cyril Ramaphosa, because he's kind of different from other presidents, you know, in how he does things. So let's start with the first thing. So we know the president is in Brazil as we speak, but it appears he couldn't take the presidential jet, Inkwazi, because apparently it's in disrepair. I mean, you got to have to help me with this. How do we do that, right? The presidential jet is not working properly. So the president went to BRICS and had to take a lift, or maybe took a commercial airline. I'm not too sure what happened there. But this says a lot about where we are, just for starters. In fact, word has it that when about 4 weeks ago he went to the White House, he took a lift on Johann Rupert's jet. No, guys, no, no. Look, it doesn't get funnier than this, which probably explains why it was Johann Rupert's show at the White House, right? It was not our show. If he gives you a lift, you can't be chacharach. I mean, he'll leave you there, and how do you come back home? So, you know, now we are in that state where we even depend on other people for a lift, and then they take over state meetings. But I sympathize with the president. We've had news about Inkwazi being in trouble for many years, but you would have thought by now we have solved problems with a jet. Although personally, I'm not sure why he needs a private jet, really. You know, presidents all over the world are traveling in commercial airlines, well, except, I mean, for American presidents, and rightfully so, because they can't trust anybody, because nobody trusts them. We should be okay with the world. We should jump onto Ethiopia Airlines and go wherever we want to go. I mean, we'll be fine. I don't even think anybody would recognize Cyril Ramaphosa in that aircraft. But I digress. Let me come back to the issues. So, and then as he's gone to BRICS, everything unravels in the country. First, the class prefect, which is the Minister of Correctional Services, decides, well, to deal with petty crime, we must use the whip on petty criminals. I mean, this guy's got apartheid memories, right? He wants to give black people back sly. You know, they're naughty. So we're going to have to use corporal punishment. I mean, can you believe it? 2025, we have Peter Groenewald saying, no, let's just give these guys some lashes and it will be administered by somebody. Crazy is not the word. But I can tell you from where I sit, the motivation is that Peter Groenewald does not know any better way of disciplining black people except spanking them in the ass. I mean, that's what else is there, right? Why keep them in prison and feed them when you can really blacksem them and send them back home? And that's our class prefect. That's the guy who's in charge of our prisons. And then I thought, that should be enough problems for the president. Nope. Because he fired one Andrew Whitfield, deputy minister in his GNU, a DA member, now the DA throws the toys, right? They like, no, you can't be doing this. I mean, this guy asked for permission to go, and it took you 4 weeks. SA Forex is long in president's time. We know it could have taken him 4 years to take that decision, right? I mean, 4 weeks is nothing in Cyril Ramaphosa's time. He uses a different clock than all our clocks. So it could have been 4 minutes in his view, these 4 weeks. So they throw toys, right? Now, you know, we don't like this. In fact, we know what we're going to do. We are going to withdraw from the national dialogue that's been proposed. But we're not withdrawing from the GNU. you would think that, I mean, who cares about the dialogue? They even think this dialogue does not mean anything. So withdrawing from something that you don't care about means you're doing absolutely nothing. But they use the dialogue as the GUN instead of getting rid of the GNU. Well, very smart of the DA. But Cyril, for a change, got a bit heartful. And he told John Steenhuisen, sit down. You're a member of my cabinet. You are part of this deal and you will sit in this dialogue. For a change, I found, man, President Ramaphosa can be stern. But while at it, he then, I think, whispered to President Thabo Mbeki to say, please tell these guys why this thing is important. Yo, we were not ready. TM wrote a 300-page letter to explain why the DA should not leave the dialogue. I mean, the man writes. I'm trying to imagine when he was at school, when he used to write essays, they probably had to stop him at some point, like, whoa, you've overspoken, Thabo. Ma, ima, utatile sikuvile. Yo. He wrote a long letter. But typically, with that amazing, erudite English, you know, quoting all the best people you can think about in the world, I reckon Steenhuisen did not understand that letter. Because it explains how he responded. All he did was, he didn't respond to Mbeki. He was like, yeah, but you know, even the people who are supporting this dialogue are ANC people. Clearly, Mbeki spoke over John Steenhuisen's head. But that did not stop there. What happened is that Zille says, but we are going because I'm the boss here. We are not part of that dialogue worth 700 million. Of course, the government has said it's not going to cost that much, but we know it's going to cost some money. But I'm also very interested in why TM suddenly is so interested in this dialogue when in his 10 years, okay, 9.5 years of rule, he did not make it happen. By the way, the dialogue thing has been there forever. He did not make it happen. But I suppose the foundations that I mentioned here are probably going to benefit. They'll find some work to do, right? Because it could be boring from time to time being a president that wants to do things and nothing happens. You know, occasionally you go to a radio show and you do this and that. You need something more serious. So I suspect for TM and many of these foundations, dialogue is like, whew, at last we'll have something to do. But of course, he's already written a 300-page letter. I think that's a dialogue on its own before we even go any further. I need to take a break because I'm dying. So we now have solved this one. John has been told to stay inside the dialogue and behave like all other children. I'm the boss here. You know, which reminds me about how actually Cyril should have dealt with the Whitfield matter. You know, even if you don't respond, do you know how our parents used to talk to us by just looking at us? I mean, he could have been in parliament and looked at Andrew like, "Awui, you're not going there." Andrew would have gotten it. Anybody who's had a father or a mother knows when they look at you and they're saying, forget about it. Don't wait 4 weeks. Give him a sign that it's not happening. But we've dealt with Andrew Whitfield. I mean, frankly, let's all confess. We did not know Andrew Whitfield until this moment. I did not know there's a guy called Andrew Whitfield. Did not even know which ministry he's deputy of. And frankly, I don't think it matters if he had gone to the US to speak badly of us or not. Everybody does. That's what they do. As Groenewald was trying to give few lashes on prisoners, his own partner, Corne Mulder, was in the US already speaking to Trump people. That's what people do. It's pastime. Like, if I live here now, I could just go to the U.S. also, and except they won't accept me. They won't give me a visa. I think my social media does not look very good for Trump and his people. And then as he sits at BRICS, as if he's got not enough problems, Trump announces that anybody participating at BRICS is going to suffer 10% more tariffs on already hefty tariffs like our Uncle Siam. What have I done as Mr. Cyril Ramaphosa? Really, don't I need a break? Don't I deserve a break? And why is Trump so interested in these guys at BRICS when he's got enough problems elsewhere? So Cyril is sitting there. He's worried about whether the dialogue is going to happen. He has to call, Groenewald to say, stop talking nonsense. Inquas is not working. He's not sure which flight he's going to get back. Now he has to deal with extra tariffs. We thought that was it. And then came Sunday, 6 July, 2025. Folks, let me tell you how hard it is for people who do what I do to script what we do. It's hard. We were beaten hands down by a police officer, Lieutenant General. He showed us that you can script these things. You can make things happen. So, I mean, I decided I'm not doing anything on this Sunday. You know, I'm just going to sit. It's winter. I'm not even going to play golf. And then I hear Lieutenant General Nhlanhla Mkhwanazi is going to speak. I switch on my television. Just the entry. I mean, how they walked onto that stage, I thought, there's a coup happening here. The president is out of the country. Here are guys dressed in military camouflage. Of course, it is SAPS camouflage. But why this kind of uniform? And how they sat on stage? I thought, there goes the land. Lieutenant General Nhlanhla Mkhwanazi threw out bombs with receipts. One, he tells us that our own police minister is in cahoots with criminals. He's reading out WhatsApp conversations between minister and people with names like Brown, Mokhotsi, and there are people like Cat Matlala. I mean, like, you can't make up these things. I mean, you're getting the cat out of the bag. There's a guy called Cat Matlala. You know, complaining about brown envelopes, there's a guy called Brown Mokhotsi. It can't get more ridiculous than this. How do you make up stuff like this? I mean, as he was talking, I kept on saying to myself, but shouldn't this matter be handled by the National Commissioner, Fanny Masemola? But I thought, that's funny. Because we know that fellow. That fellow can't speak. I'm sure he said, no, vaya wena Nhlanhla phela wena, your English is better than mine. People won't understand me dealing with this matter. Besides, by the way, one of the biggest issues that Mkhwanazi was raising was the disbandment of this unit, political crimes or political murders unit, I can't remember the exact name, that was disbanded while Masemola was on leave. Which is very curious, right? I'm sure the minister would have known that this guy is on leave, but he does it. So what does Masemola do? He doesn't cut his leave short. He sends his deputy, what's the other fellow? Sibiya, Shadrack Sibiya, Lieutenant General Shadrack Sibiya, who himself is being implicated by Mkhwanazi in all of this. So Shadrack Sibiya quickly goes in and disbands this unit. What does Mkhwanazi do? Like, I'm continuing with this unit. I'm going to go into Gauteng and help these guys. Take the budget from KZN and help these guys because you have to solve this nonsense. Guys, I promise you, if Cyril Ramaphosa sitting in Brazil was looking at his or watching his television and seeing something like this, he would have guessed it's something happening in South America. You know, that's what happens in Colombia and Mexico, stuff like that. No, it is happening in his own backyard. And therefore, I ask myself, what's going to happen now? So the circus began. First, it was the ANC Secretary General. Fikile Mbalula issues a statement and pretty much threatens Nhlanhla Mkhwanazi, you know, of being out of order and stuff like that. And then the second one was the ANC Youth League, whose president's name I choose to always forget. So I'm not even going to remember it now, who did not look very sober and again accuses Mkhwanazi of being out of order and why he doesn't, you know, go follow the right processes, blah, 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 as if this man, by the way, had not revealed some of the stuff in front of parliament only a few weeks ago. The minister of police himself, who was busy on an ANC campaign trail, comes out and says, well, I haven't seen anything. I've heard about this thing. We'll apply our minds, that line, apply our minds, right? Which we know the president is going to come back and apply his mind on, probably take another 4 weeks on it while we wait. Now, while we wait for this, we have to also remember that the president has another headache. He has a former deputy who just passed on. Another cat, by the way, who took his last life because he had nine. He called himself Cat David Mabuza. He's passed on and may his soul rest in peace. So the president has to worry about burying his former number two and stuff like that. But in that nonsense, by the way, the general or secretary general of the ANC announced the death of the former president before the president could speak. He should know better. We don't do things that way. Only the president is allowed to announce these things, but not Mbaks. Mbaks cannot not take the limelight. It is difficult for him not to do so. So I'm sitting here really sympathetic towards President Cyril Ramaphosa. Like, this is serious headache for him. What is he going to do? Well, we know the obvious that he's going to do. He's going to take time to apply his mind. Nobody's going to get fired. And I don't necessarily believe that somebody must get fired. But we know that sometime this week, the DA is going to say, yeah, you fired Andrew Whitfield. Why don't you fire Senzo Mkhunu? You know, they don't care about processes, of course. And they're going to try and compare two things that are so incomparable. But that's what the DA does all the time. But in the process, the president has to write a eulogy for a man who pretty much did not do much as a deputy president. I'm wondering what he's going to have to remember about David Mabuza. I don't know if you remember anything about David Mabuza yourself, except that he spent half of his working life in Russia fixing something that clearly did not get fixed by the look of things, right? And again, may his soul rest in peace. So I'm wondering what's going to be in that eulogy. I mean, generally, we know Cyril Ramaphosa writes very boring eulogies, but this has to be doubly boring because what else are you going to say about David Dabede Mabuza? He may have to refer to old stories and, you know, make light of them. I mean, the guy has been named in some of the scariest stories of our lives, right? But when he was deputy president, Struz God, I don't remember anything except two things. Him spending a lot of time in Russia and every day giving the National AIDS Day speech, because that was always the responsibility of the deputy president. I mean, we know Cyril did it. We know Thabo did it. We know Jacob Zuma did it when they were deputy presidents. Other than that, yes, he also gave us an explanation of what 4IR was, which none of us ever understood. Remember? So, man, it's going to be so hard to be Cyril Ramaphosa in the week that we are in. I feel very sorry for him. He has now the National Police, the SAPS, people at the top echelons of the SAPS fighting each other. And I mean fighting. There could be deaths. This is South Africa we're talking about here, right? I mean, even Mkhwana, as he said, well, at least I have a gun, I could protect myself. How scary, right? So now the president has called these kids into his yard and say, let's talk. Oh, by the way, and I don't know if Mkhwana will come because he said there can never be peace between criminals and police, referring to the Deputy National Commissioner as a criminal, Sibiya. So as we sit here, folks, I say to you, I could never have written this script. And remember, I'm also an author of fiction. I create things, but this stuff is not creatable. Nobody is as smart as that. But we have it in South Africa. All these stories happening all at the same time. So as the president comes back, or as he came back at the beginning of the week, I was wondering as he was flying in that aircraft, what was he thinking about? As he was looking at his aides and all the people who accompanied him, he was like, what should I do? We don't know what he's going to do, but there's one thing we know. The cat is out of the bag, not the other cat. The other cat has been laid to rest this weekend. The brown envelopes are flying even more as we speak. And we know for certain, that the DA will be cooking something to make sure that the man does not rest. I'm so sorry, Mr. President, but you chose it for yourself. In the meantime, I've got a suggestion for you. You need a light moment, Mr. President. buy this book, read this book, have something to laugh about, because yours is a very difficult job. From me, Rems Mabote, goodbye and God bless.